Well, good morning, everyone. We welcome you in the Saviour's name to the Lord's house this morning. We're going to take our hymn books. We're turning to the hymn 100 as we commence this morning. The hymn 100, the page is 216. O Christ, what burdens bowed our head, or bowed thy head, our load was laid on thee. Thou stoodest in the sinner's stead, didst bear all ill for me. The hymn 100, we'll stand and we'll sing on to the Lord this morning. Still ourselves in God's presence this morning. Unite together in prayer. Our Father And our God in heaven, as we bow before thee, we thank thee already this day that we have been brought to the cross. We thank and praise thee for the Son of God, the one who loved and gave himself for us. We come, O God, with thankfulness, with praise in our hearts, and yet, O God, with humbleness and reverence before thee, because we confess there is nothing of worth in us. O God, that Christ would go and die for us. But we do truly stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love us, how he could suffer, how he could bleed, and how he could die for us. We thank thee, O God, that it's through his death upon the cross that we have everlasting life. We come to thee rejoicing this day, even in the first day of the week, that though Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, but we do thank thee and praise thee this day that he rose from the dead and he is alive forevermore. We thank and praise thee that that which Christ did upon the cross, that which Christ accomplished, was accepted, and it was enough. We thank thee there's never another one to hang upon a tree for us. There's never another time when Christ will have to suffer, bleed, and die. It was a sacrifice for all time and for all eternity. And we praise thee, O God, for that. We praise thee this day that he is enthroned in glory. We praise thee, O God, that he is there in heaven, and he receives all of the honour, all of the glory, and all of the praise. And Father, as we gather to thy house today, oh, that thou wilt enable us to praise thee. Oh, that thou wilt tune our hearts even to sing thy praise. That thou, O God, wilt warm our hearts even within us. That thou wilt give us hearts of thankfulness. Hearts, O God, that are softened. Hearts that are tender. Hearts that are full of love. And, O God, that even our love will grow for thee this day. That our love will grow. That our knowledge and our understanding will grow of who our God is, of who our Savior is, of what he has done even for us. O Father, bless and undertake. We thank thee for thy hand of mercy upon us this last week. We thank thee, O God, for every time this door has been opened in this church. We thank thee for every meeting that has taken place. We thank thee for thy presence and for thy help within each one of them. And Lord, even as this a new week has commenced, O God, that thou wilt be near to us once again, that thou wilt bless. We thank thee for this Sabbath school this morning. Lord, bless us even now in this time of worship together. Bless us tonight and bless the children as they will come to take part. Bring in their parents, O God. Bring in the strangers. Bring in family members. Give us blessed times in thy house. O, for souls to be saved. O, for backsliders to be restored. O, for thy people to be built up in their most precious faith. O, Father, we leave ourselves in thy hands. Remember this incoming week. We think even of the final meetings of the Awana, of the children's meeting. We pray that thou wilt bless them. We pray, O God, that thou wilt be unto each one all that they need. Remember the prayer time on Wednesday night. Remember, O God, even the youth are... the Easter Convention as it commences on Friday with the youth rally, with the missionary rally. Lord, these times when we as a denomination can gather together. Oh God, that thou wilt bless and meet with us in these days. Lord, we acknowledge the day is dark in which we live. But oh God, help us to live for thee. We acknowledge that we wrestle not against principality or against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And oh Father, we acknowledge we need thee so much. We acknowledge there's so much wickedness in our land. And Father, we think of those that have been plunged into grief, into sadness and heartache even in these days. Lord, remember them, be near to them. We think of the McKee family. Oh, Father, that thou wilt be very near to them, even there in Coquille. Remember Mrs. McKee, Lord, even in hospital, meet her need. Be with the family circle even at this time. Comfort and sustain, we pray thee. But, O God, even in these days of darkness, Lord, that the light of the gospel will shine forth, that precious souls will be saved, that, O God, that thy standards will be raised, that Christ will be uplifted, that he might draw men unto himself. O God, how much we need thee in this land. How much we need that sound of abundance of rain. Lord, truly our land is barren and dry. And O God, even as we think, as we're coming ever closer to our mission. And Father, we thank thee for the missions that have come even to this land in these days. We thank thee for the souls that we have heard of being saved. And O God, that thou wilt save many precious more. Even in those final meetings of missions today, Lord, that thou wilt bless in them. That more souls will be saved, that backsliders restored. And as we continue to think and prepare even for our own, O God, that thou wilt prepare this area. That God and his Holy Spirit will move. That God will come down upon this area. That the fear of God will descend. That men will take knowledge that God is here. That men will take knowledge of their need to be saved. And Father, that this will be a blessed time. Oh Father, we leave ourselves in thy hands. Be near unto us today. Bless every home. Remember our sick. Remember, O God, our elderly. Remember those that are away on holiday at this time as well. Watch over them. And Father, be unto each one all that they need. O God, hear and answer prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen. 275 is our second hymn this morning. The hymn 275, the page 287. Oh, what a Saviour that he died for me. From condemnation he hath made me free. He that believeth in the Son, saith he, hath everlasting life. 275 will stand as we sing, please.
Thank you.
continue to read through the book of Psalms. This morning we come to Psalm number 11. Psalm number 11. It bears the title "To the Chief Musician, a Psalm of David." The Psalm number 11, and together we'll read the seven verses of the psalm. Psalm 11 and the verse 1. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, his countenance doth behold the upright. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning. Let me welcome each and every one today to the house of God. This morning we welcome you in the Saviour's name, and we do pray that the Lord will bless and the Lord will meet with us as we are here, and that we will know not only his presence, but we will hear his word even to our hearts this day. We do remind you of the announcements both for today and for the incoming week. There is a season of prayer tonight at 6:30, and that is our coming before our parents' evening. And we're looking forward to that meeting at 7 p.m. With the children, both of Awana and the children's meeting from Tuesday night. They're both coming to take part this evening. And we do pray that the Lord will bless the children, the Lord will bring in the parents, and the Lord will give us a blessed night in his house. We do encourage you to come. Encourage even the children here by your presence as they come to take part. And do pray that the Lord will bless even the service this evening. There is a light supper immediately after the meeting tonight, and we do remind you of that, and all are welcome to stay for it. And just a couple of things then in relation to it. Anyone that's able to help immediately after the service this morning, just in setting up the hall and moving the communion table here from the church just for the preparations for tonight, if you can remain to help with that, that would be much appreciated. And all of the children's workers, both of the Monday and Tuesday night, if you meet with James just immediately after the service this morning as well, that would be appreciated. Then we do mention the meetings coming up in the will of the Lord this week. And Monday night and Tuesday night are the two final meetings of the children's clubs. And one on Monday night at 6:45, the children's meeting, on Tuesday at 7. Both of those meetings are the last of the season. And we do, as always, encourage you to remember them in prayer and pray that Lord's blessing will be upon those final meetings. Wednesday evening is our Bible study and our prayer meeting at 8 p.m. And God willing, I'll be here once again. And we continue to focus our prayer times upon our upcoming gospel mission. And we're encouraged by the number there last week. And again, if you can get along this week, then certainly do make that effort to come, not only to study God's word, but also to be bringing the mission even before the Lord in prayer. Then on Friday evening, we do mention too, the Easter Convention begins in our Martyrs Memorial Congregation. It is the Free Church's Easter Convention. And this particular Friday night, whilst it is a youth rally, of course it is open to all. And this particular Friday night, the focus is particularly upon the Whitfield College. And the Reverend Timothy Nelson, the principal of the college, will be preaching. There'll be some of the students taking part. And we do encourage you to get along and even to hear of the work of the college and to get along to these meetings. That meeting on Friday night is at 8 p.m. Saturday night is a missionary rally at the Easter Convention, and that's at 7:30. And there'll be various reports from our home missionaries and from missionaries across the world. And Dr. John McKnight, who's a retired minister from America, will be over for the conference, both on the Saturday night and also the Monday night. So do, if you can, get along to the meetings either Friday or Saturday. Friday 8 p.m, Saturday 7:30, and then Easter Convention on Monday is at 7. So every night you're getting forward a little, half an hour. It doesn't mean you go home any earlier. I certainly never go home any earlier. It doesn't matter what time it starts. It's usually midnight before we're leaving the martyrs. The lights are being turned off around us. Gates are being locked. It's always a blessed time of fellowship, meeting up with friends from right across the country. And if you can get along to those meetings, they are always a blessing. And we encourage you to get along to them on either the Friday, the Saturday, or the Monday evening at 7. Monday, there is a children's club also running during the meeting for little ones up to the end of primary school, I think. And that club is always undertaken by members of the Serve Youth team with Phil Harton. And so if you can get along to those meetings and your children are able to go to the club, then certainly do avail of it at the Monday evening. The service is next Sunday then, in the will of the Lord. There's no Sabbath school and Bible class with being Easter Sunday. It's just off for the 1 week. But then the regular times of worship, 11:30 and 7 p.m. And I'll be here for both of those meetings. And in the morning time, after the morning service, it will be the observance of the Lord's Supper. And we do encourage, as always, God's people to remain behind next Sunday morning for that time of communion. Next Sunday evening is a special family and friends meeting, and the church choir will be singing at it. And we mentioned too, there is a choir practice at 5:45 next Sunday evening for that. And then the church choir singing at 7, and the Reverend William McDermott, who is a retired minister from our Monieslane congregation, will be along to testify. Reverend McDermott is a wonderful testimony, not only of God's saving, but of God's keeping grace. In the earlier years of the Troubles, he was a policeman down in Mid-Ulster, and how the Lord saved his life and kept him alive, even whilst others and all of the deadly attacks that were going on in Mid-Ulster. It was one thing I was struck by whenever I was minister in Tyrone for those years, was how many men were killed in Tyrone by the IRA. And many of them, the Reverend McDermott knew personally. And he'll be along to give that word of testimony next Sunday evening. And we do encourage you to invite and to let others know, and to come along yourself and to hear even our brother's testimony next Sunday evening. Team 1 will be on the catering for the supper afterwards, and we do remind you of that. We do want to say a word of thanks as well to our sister Vivian for coming to play for us this morning. We really appreciate her help as always in the organ, and we welcome her son as well. We pray that Lord will bless them as they're with us today. Let's turn in our hymn books, please. We're turning to the hymn 103 as we lift our tithes and offerings this morning. The hymn 103, the pages 218. Have you read the story of the cross where Jesus bled and died? Remain seated for the first part of the hymn, our 103, please.
Thank you.
Invite you to open your Bibles in the Gospel of Matthew in the chapter 27. With Easter being this weekend coming, I want this morning to spend time around the cross. And then next Sunday morning, the will of the Lord will come to the tomb. And so we're going to read some verses this morning from Matthew 27. I'm going to break in at the verse 45 and read down to the end of verse 54. Matthew 27 and the verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, This man calleth for Elias. Straightway one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with vinegar, and put it on a reed, and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake, those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts. Verse 50 says that Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded or gave up the ghost. I want to speak to you this morning on the death of Christ. The death of Christ. Let's just ask the Lord to speak to us. Heavenly Father, as we bow in thy presence, O God, we come to verses this morning which, O God, are very humbling, very solemn, to consider all that the Lord Jesus endured. And Father, we acknowledge we'll never plumb the depths. We'll never understand the great agony that Christ endured upon the cross. But Father, help us, even as men did at that time, help us to sit down. Help us to sit at the feet of the cross. Help us to look upon our Savior. O God, hear and answer prayer. Help us now, O God, fill us with thy Spirit. Settle our minds, O God. Stir our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. This morning in these verses, we have come to the centerpiece of all of history. Everything that has happened and everything that will happen in the world, from the beginning of time till the end of time, the center of it all is the cross of Jesus Christ. There is no setting and there is no scene that can ever be imagined or can ever be seen that comes close to what happened at Golgotha. To be there and to hear the voice of Christ, and those cries of the cross, as he cried unto his Father in heaven, as he looked upon Mary and as he looked upon John, as he looked upon the dying thief, as he looked again upon his Father in heaven, and as he gave up the ghost, to see the agony, to see the attitude, even off those others that were round about him, to see the vileness and the wickedness of man being poured out against the Son of God, to see the religions and the governments joining together, to have all of the Romans and the Jews together, even though they were arch enemies one against the other, even though one was the aggressor and one was the victim, and yet they came together against the Son of God. To see that all taking place. It was John Calvin who says, "There is no tribunal so magnificent, no throne so stately, no show of triumph so distinguished, no chariot so elevated as the gibbet on which Christ hath subdued death and the devil." You see, when you come to the cross, the plan of redemption is being fulfilled. When you come to the cross, the purchasing of that redemption is being carried out. Christ is our substitute for sin, is laying down his life. Now, make no mistake, Christ as man did die. There are many that say, "No, he only fainted." There are many that say, "No, he only passed out because of the pain, because of the blood loss." And some will say they quickly got his body down off the cross and they smuggled it away and then they revived him. No, my friend, Christ did die. Christ had to die. You come to the scriptures and how many testimonies, how many accounts are given, both by saved and unsaved alike, that Christ as man did die upon the cross. You think of Mark 15 in the verses 44 and 45, because it's the first testimony given of the death of Christ, and it's not by a disciple. The first testimony is not given by a member of his followers. It's not given by one of the women, but rather the first testimony is given by a Roman soldier, because it tells us that whenever Joseph of Arimathea, who came and he desired and he craved the body of Christ, it tells us, Mark 15, 44, Pilate marveled if he were already dead. And he called unto him the centurion, and he asked him whether he had any while been dead. And the centurion was the one who testified, because it tells us when he knew it off the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. The centurion was the very first one to declare the death of Christ. And then you have the gospel writers, all of them will speak of it. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, they all speak of the same. Christ died upon the cross. The angels testify of it. Over in Matthew 28 and verse 5, it says, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Christ himself will testify of it. Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead. All of heaven testifies of it. Revelation 5 and 12, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. You go through the epistles. You look to the writings of Paul, Peter, John, they all testify of the same truth. You think of the words, 1 Corinthians 15, Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. It was Stephen Charnock who says the doctrine of the death of Christ is the substance of the gospel. My friend, Christ had to die for our sins. The wages of sin is death. And anything less than death would not have paid the debt in full. You know, this morning as we come to these verses in Matthew 27, there are four wonderful truths that I wish to leave with you in our time remaining. I want you to see firstly the verse 51 and 52. You have the power of death. You have the power of the death. Because it tells us, verse 51, the veil of the temples rent in twain, the earth quakes, the rocks rent, the graves are opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. You know, Jesus Christ in his life had performed many miracles. Everywhere he went, miracles were performed. The lame were made to walk, the lepers were healed and cleansed. The ones with the palsy, the bells palsy, the ones with the dropsy, the ones with the withered hand. He did it all. He raised even three from the dead. And even now as you come to his death itself, Christ is still performing miracles. Great miracles. Significant miracles. Glorious miracles. The first one that's mentioned to us in the verse 51 is the veil of the temple being rent in twain. And it's interesting because it tells us at the end of verse 50 that the Lord, he yielded up the ghost. In other words, he died. And yet you come into verse 51 and it tells us straight away, and behold. In other words, your eyes have been fixed upon the cross. You're watching as the Son of God hath breathed his last breath as he's given up that ghost. And then the Spirit of God has come in the writing. And it's as if he takes your attention. Now the lifeless body hangs upon the cross. And he says, behold, in other words, look away. See what the death has done. See what the death of Christ now means. Yes, the body is still hanging upon that tree. It's lifeless, it's limp. But look at what happens. And you come to the temple. And there's all of the busyness of the evening because it's time for evening sacrifice. The priests are in their order, in their place. They're bringing the lambs, they're bringing the calves, the turtle doves. They're bringing all of the animals. They're getting them ready to shed the blood. They're getting them ready to offer the sacrifices. And yet here comes this great move of God. And the veil is taken and it's rent from the top to the bottom. How important that is. It's not rent from the bottom where a man's hand could take it. But rather it's rent from the top where no human could reach. It's God dropping, as it were, bringing his hands down. And he's taking that top of it and he's just ripping it apart. And all of the commotion there in the temple at that time, all of the people, they're bringing their animals, they're bringing their sacrifices, they're bringing them to the priests. The priests are in their dress. The priests are in their order and in their place. And yet God comes and he just says, no more. It's not needed. My son has died. My son has shed his blood. Now you approach a different way. Isn't that what's spoken about in Romans 10 and verses 19 and 20? It goes over in that passage. It tells us there that having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to save through his flesh. In other words, there was the death of Christ, the blood has been shed. And now that veil, now that old way that the Jews had to approach by. And may you think of it, there was all of the people, as I said, they're bringing their sacrifices. And everything upon the mind of a Jew at that time was, I hope my sacrifice is accepted. I hope there's no lameness in the feet of the animal. I hope there's no bruising upon that animal. I hope it's without spot, without blemish. And I hope that the priest is in his right spiritual state. I hope that he is cleansed. I hope that he is living. I hope that he is as he should be. And therefore I hope when I offer my animal and the priest takes it and he sheds his blood, I hope therefore that the intercession that he makes, I hope that it is okay. But now it's different. Now we're not depending upon the blood of animals, the blood of bulls and of goats. Now we're not depending upon any human priest. Now the great high priest has entered into the holies. And his blood he has taken and his blood is sprinkled upon the mercy seat. And his blood speaketh better things than that of Abel's. The twain pieces are hanging. We can approach God. There's a rending of the veil. But then the second part that is mentioned is the earth did quake. The land shook. Christ died. He breathed his last breath. And the whole land just started to shake. Rocks began to rend and to break. Oh yes, you think of it, the God of creation. And you think of it in terms of what sin has done to creation. Romans 8:22 tells us the whole of creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together. But this is different. It's not simply a groaning or a travailing. Literally the earth physically shook. It shook at the horrible wickedness that man had performed against Christ. This is greater than the death of Abel because the ground was cursed for it and even the blood of Abel's crying out from the ground. But this is different. The whole earth is shaking. There's a whole shaking of everything that's around about. Amos, speaking of God's great displeasure against the wicked, he says in Amos 8 and verse 8, "Shall not the land tremble for this?" This earthquake heralded the death of Christ, but it also signaled the death blow for the devil's kingdom. You see, Christ shook everything. Christ changed everything. Even rocks rent. The hardest of materials, the strongest of substance, and they just fell apart. I don't know if you've ever worked with rock. I had my belly full of it. We're in North Down. North Down's grey wacky. You go to South Down, you go to South Armagh, you stand in Uri, you look around, and everywhere you can see, as far as the eye sees, it's granite. I lost thousands of pounds of equipment down a borehole because of granite. You find a stream of quartz and you can spin and spin with the diamond bits on it. You're not getting anywhere. They say the hardest rock in the world is diamond. And women love diamonds, apparently. But yet even the diamond can break under the power of God. The rocks rent, and the hardness of the rocks, and yet it's not simply the rocks that need to rend, my friend, it's your heart. Because did you know the human heart spiritually is harder than rock? We harden our hearts against God and our sin. Job 41 verse 24 tells us and speaks there of hearts being as firm as stones. Now I wonder, I look out and I imagine the vast majority here have heard of the cross many, many times. You've heard of Christ dying, you've heard of Christ suffering. I wonder what impact it makes upon you. I wonder how you consider it. I wonder, does it break? Or is your heart so hard against the gospel? Is your heart so hard against God? Have you hardened and hardened it that the gospel, as it were, it just comes and it's just bouncing off? That you've just hardened and stiffened your neck so much that God comes and God brings the gospel to you in his faithfulness and in his mercy and grace to you. Time and again you hear it, maybe from a child upwards, and you've heard the gospel and you've heard the gospel and you've heard that Christ died, you've heard that Christ suffered, you've heard that Christ has bled, you've heard that Christ endured all of the miseries, you've heard that Christ endured all of the agonies, all of the abuse, you've heard it all, and it's just banging off you and just no impact. So hard. My friend, your heart needs to be rent. In olden times, you go through Bible scriptures, people received bad news, they rent their clothes. It was a sign of their grief, a sign, public display of their sadness, and so they would just tear their clothes. It's not enough just to tear your clothes. You need to rend your heart. Christ died for your sins. It tells us in Scripture it's a broken and a contrite heart that the Lord will not despise. We read those verses in the Psalms this morning that speaks about God's anger and God's hatred against those that are wicked. In other words, those that have hard hearts and stiff necks, those that reject and rebel against the gospel and against the things of God, his anger is towards them. My friend, there needs to be a brokenness There needs to be a softening, there needs to be a turning. We read of the temple of the veil being rent in twain. We read of the earth quaking and the rocks rending. But then verse 52, it speaks about the graves being opened. It speaks about resurrections. Many bodies of the saints which slept arose, but they came out after. After all, Christ is the resurrection and the life. His death, even in his death, he brings forth life. But they didn't come forth straight away. Why? Because it tells us, 1 Corinthians 15 and 20, Christ is risen from the dead. He's become the first fruits of them that slept. The first one to be seen to be resurrected was Christ. And then the others came out of their graves afterwards. You see, all praise, all glory, all honor, even in the death of Christ, goes to Christ. There was a power in the death. Secondly, the persuasion of the death, verse 54. It tells us, now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. You know, the centurion and the soldiers that were with him, they'd been there for every part of the crucifixion. They were the men who nailed him to the tree. They were the men who lifted up that cross and drove it down into the stock. They were the men who took his garments and cast lots. They were the men who sat down and who watched. They were the men who listened. They were the men who heard all of the abuse. They were the men who heard the two thieves and the cross. But they were the men who heard the voice of the Son of God. They heard Christ cry, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They saw the darkness come down upon the land, and they would have held out their hands, and they couldn't even see the hand in front of them. For in those 3 hours of darkness, it's so dark they can't see the crosses, but they can't even see themselves. It's a complete outer darkness that they find themselves in. And then at the end of those hours of darkness, they hear that cry, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why? Why hast thou forsaken me? And then they hear with a controlling loud voice, finished. And then they see the Lord hanging lifeless upon the cross. These are hardened soldiers, men who have been through battles, been through wars. Men that have done vile and wicked things against those that they overtook. And yet in those moments, those eyes are opened. They see the love of God. They see the compassion. They see the control of God over creation. They realize we have been in the presence of God. A holy, innocent, spotless, sacrificial lamb. They've seen God, but I believe in those hours they saw their hearts. And they knew their sin. And they realize, I believe, those hours of darkness. Even as Christ died, the question comes up before them. If I die in my sin, where will I be? That's a question each one must ask this morning. If you die this very day, where will you be? Those men experienced 3 hours of outer darkness. My friend, if you die in your sin, you spend an eternity in outer darkness. These men were persuaded. This wasn't a criminal. This was the Son of God. And these men were persuaded he can save us. And the centurion, yea, the leader, he makes that confession. Truly, without a doubt, that's the Son of God hanging in that tree. Oh, that you would see this morning Christ. You would see your need for Christ. My friend, that you would see Christ as the only one. Thirdly, quickly, when you see, thirdly, the piercing and the death. Because it tells us over in John 19:34, one of the soldiers with a spear, he pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. You know, it's remarkable whenever you study the Gospels. The soldiers were ordered, go and break all of the legs. And yet the soldiers came to the body of Christ, and they didn't do what they were commanded to do. But rather they did what they were not supposed to do. The order was given, go to each one of them, break their legs, because you break their legs, it's going to kill them quicker. They'll not be able to pull themselves up to breathe. The agony is going to send them into shock. It's going to affect their heart. They're going to die very quickly. But they came to the body of Christ. He's already dead. They don't touch his bones, but they pierce his side. There's two reasons for that. One, the bones of Christ were never to be broken. Every Passover, every picture you have in the Old Testament, every sacrifice that's ever been shown, the bones are never broken. You go to Exodus 12:46, tells us there, neither shall you break a bone thereof. You go to Psalm 34:20, he keepeth all of his bones, not one of them is broken. They never broke a bone of Christ. Oh, but doesn't it say in 1 Corinthians, this is my body which is broken for you? Yes, my friend, but a body consists of more than just the bones. The bones are there to hold the body in shape. But there's more to a body than just bones. Christ's body was broken, but not one bone. But they pierced his side. They took that spear, and they drove it into the side of Christ. It's widely accepted it was his left side. And by going in at the left side, the heart which is about there is pointing to the left. They pierced the heart of Christ. You see, around about your heart, there's what is known as pericardium. It's little sacks of water. And they pierced through into the heart of Christ, and both the water and the blood came forth. You know, there are many that look upon it. That's the physical, the literal of what happened. Many look upon the piercing of Christ and they'll say, but what about the spiritual meaning? That blood and water flowed out. Christendom, all of the theologians have never been able to agree on it. Some say it's the picture of the two sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper. I'd rather just go to Zechariah 13:1. It tells us there, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and for uncleanness. You see, there's a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood will lose all their guilty stains. Let me ask the question this morning, are you washed? Are you washed in the blood of Jesus? There's no salvation in any other. There's no blood can cleanse you apart from the blood of Christ. He was wounded, he was pierced. He died for your sin. Are you washed in his blood? One final thing I'll leave with you as we close. What was the purpose of the death of Christ? Why did he have to die the way he died? Why did it have to be all of the different parts of it? Why did Pilate have to scourge him? Why did Pilate and those men drive those thorns through his brow? Why did they smote him about the face? Why did they then put that cross upon his back? Why did they walk him out? Why did they then nails in his hands and his feet? Why did they pierce his side? Why did it have to be that way? My friend, the plan of salvation. John Blanchard says the death of Jesus was not a proposition for sinners, it's a plan of salvation. Everything that happened to Christ happened for a reason. Why was he scourged? Because it's through his stripes we're healed. Why was he condemned, though innocent? Because it's then that we might be acquitted, even though we're guilty. Why a crown of thorns? That we might wear a crown of righteousness. Why was he stripped of his garments? That we might be clothed in his righteousness. Why was he mocked and reviled? That we might be honored and blessed. Why was he declared a malefactor and numbered amongst the transgressors? That we might be declared innocent and justified from all sin. Why was he declared unable to save himself? Because it's through his death that he might save others to the uttermost. Why was there darkness? That we might have light. Why was he forsaken? That we might be accepted. Why did he thirst? That we might drink of the water of life forever and never thirst again. Why did he die the most painful, the most disgraceful death imaginable? That we might live forever and we might be taken to glory. Tell me today as we close, you sit at the cross. You see the death of Christ. What does it mean to you? Is he your Savior? Dying for your sins? Or does it mean nothing? See, today if your heart is hard, the gospel's having no impact upon you. You come and go from the preaching meetings without ever coming under conviction, ever being stirred in your heart about your sin. My friend, it's an awful place to be. Out of Christ, without a Savior. Christ's death is the only way to have sins dealt with. It's through the shedding of his blood that we can have remission of our sins. Are you saved? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? If not, my friend, what about today? What about now? Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Father in heaven, we bow before thee. We thank thee for Jesus Christ. We thank thee for his death. We praise thee, O God, this day that everything that he endured, it was accepted of the Father. We thank thee for the cry of victory, finished, full atonement made. And O God, we praise thee that through his stripes we can be healed. O Lord, write thy word upon our hearts. Speak to each and to every one of our hearts. O God, speak to the lost. Save their precious souls. Be with us as we separate one from the other. Take us to our homes in safety. Bring us again this night. Bless us, O God. Bless in this house. In Jesus' name. Amen.